everybody, Kyle here. Did you know you could have gotten this episode a few days early and ad-free? Yeah, all you gotta do is head over to patreon.com/Kyle Dempster Studios. Don't wait for next week's episode. Get it now! New episode of The Tenets. My name is Kyle, and I'm joined here by my co-host, as always, Stark Graham. How you doing today, Stark?
Pretty good.
Good to hear. We have some, I think this is big news to share. I am very, very, very invested in this article that came out on July 30th on the ESO website, and it is called ESO's Performance Improvements Plan. And this is authored by our friend Rich Lambert, creative director over at ZeniMax for ESO. He published, this was actually announced at QuakeCon too. The picture at least was on the stage. We could see it on this projected up on the screen of their performance improvement timeline going from July 2019 through quarter two of 2020. And I got really excited when I saw that, and I screenshotted it quickly and shot it up to Twitter. And then a couple days later, you know, after they got back from QuakeCon and stuff, we see this article hit. And I'm very excited because I think the community as a whole, and we know this is pretty typical for MMOs, but the community as a whole right now has been in a downswing. My Twitch stats reflect that. The guild stuff, it shows with the members that are online. And as a guy that started last summer, I feel like we're in a little bit bigger of a downturn than we were about this time last year.
Yeah, it's a little weird too, especially for you, because ESO's been ESO really spiked last year.
Yeah,
like there was a huge uptake there. So yeah, this is, I don't want to say it's normalizing because that certainly gives the wrong impression of what's going on, but yeah, there has certainly been a significant drop off, and some of that is based around like actual stability issues and other technical problems with the game.
It is,
so it's not just people losing interest. Like there are some actual technical issues on that.
I think that's a good way to say it, because these last 3 weeks that people have been listening, they've had Zynode on here and we've been talking about stuff, and we've veered into this lane every once in a while, right? We've kind of, you know, we talk about the PTS and then we make a little aside. It's like, well, but the stability makes it really hard to do this, that, and the other. And this is why it's an awkward conversation, because, well, it's not awkward, but it's a conversation that needs to be had. And we've had it a couple times in passing that, like you said, I don't think the interest is waning. I think people, I know myself, I want to be in love with ESO with all of my heart right now, but with some of these changes, some of the faults that have come to the surface, the stability, the dungeon finder breaking and staying broken, you know, things like that, make it very hard to convince new players to come on board with, you know, 100% passion and my heart. Like, I'm like, it's kind of a good time to come on if you can miss, you know, if you can overlook these two big pit holes in the front lawn. Like, ignore those and everything's good. So I'm very happy to see an article like this, and we're gonna link this in the show note description so everyone can find it. But it is up on the ESO website under the news category, again titled ESO's Performance Improvements Plan. So I like in this that they start addressing the issues. And actually, you brought this up in our offline conversation. This article heavily gears itself towards the user experience and talking about it point for point. I think that's a very, very good idea. And maybe I should start by reading a couple lines off the top here. That's probably good way to get on with this.
Let's get started on that way, yeah.
So again, written by ESO's creative director, Rich Lambert, and it will be updated continuously, it says, and check back monthly for status updates. So it starts off saying, with the launch of Elsewhere, we wanted to give you an update on our ongoing performance optimization initiatives, our future plans, and when generally you can expect to see the improvements. This will be a living document, and it will be updated as new information becomes available. We know that ESO's performance has degraded for some players, especially on the base PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. We are not happy with this, and we know how important it is for us to alleviate the situation and give regular updates on what we're doing. A game that's still going strong after 5 years brings a number of challenges to keep it running as smoothly as possible. Technology and player behavior change over time, and of course, the amount of available content continuously expands. All of these can impact performance, and they have in ESO. This article is the first step in a new process of making sure that everyone knows what we're working on. The goal is to outline the things we've planned, explain why a particular item is important to overall stability or performance, and provide a target for when we think the work is going to be complete and on the live servers. Please keep in mind that some of these fixes reach very deep into the architecture of the game and require a lot of care, time, and testing. Because of this, the target dates on some of the initiatives may shift as work progresses. Oh my. Okay, I'm already in love with this article because this is a conversation you and I have had both, again, on the stream, but also off air saying, I love this game. We both love this game. There's no doubt about it. We want great success for this game because I'm a hardcore invested Elder Scrolls player, full stop, and you've been playing this nonstop since its launch back in beta, right?
Nonstop, but pretty close. Like, I've been around since, I think, January 2014.
What is the biggest break you've ever taken? I don't know if we've ever had that conversation. Have you backed away for like a year or so from it?
I was never going a full year, no.
That's pretty consecutive then.
Like, I certainly remember, leaving within a couple of months of launch because I was gone for most of the summer of 2014. Like, I'd pop in, then I'd leave again. And a lot of that was actually, this is a really strange conversation, but a lot of that was because of the gold sellers that were infesting the game at the time. Because what would happen is you'd go to a zone like, well, actually, the one that comes to mind right now is Cold Harbor. I never saw this personally. I saw it in other zones. But you'd go into Cold Harbor in the Hollow City, and you know how there's the quest where you meet the groundskeeper?
Yes.
And you walk around the city with her? Well, what you'd see is you'd come into the Hollow City, and there would just be this endless parade of bots who would zone in at the Way Shrine. And then just fly. They wouldn't walk. They would literally just fly across the terrain towards where the gatekeeper or the groundskeeper quest started. And they would interact with her. And then they would fly through the ground to the first place where you have to be to trigger the next step. And they would just keep doing it. They'd fly this whole circuit, collect the gold from that, mail it back to a control account, log off, delete the character, roll up a new character, and repeat this and just port to their control, like this control account that was just sitting there at the Way Shrine. And I remember actually seeing this in Windhelm for the quest where you're running around and you're doing the race there. I remember seeing this in like Aradon, in Daggerfall, a bunch of different quests. And the gold sellers would just run these quests endlessly. And it was really disruptive to see this stuff. It was really disruptive to, you would try to go harvesting mats and you would have bots just zipping through the environment, in some cases harvesting the mat from underneath the ground and zipping off. And then you would get, your inbox would be filled with ads for the various gold selling sites. And I remember it took me about 3 weeks to fill my ignore list.
Oh gosh.
And it took them about 2 months to completely stamp down on the bots and really get that under control. But yeah, I left fairly early on because of that and came back late. I think it was like August or something, but late in the summer. So yeah, that was the first time. And then there've been other gaps. Usually it's a couple of weeks or a month or two here and there.
That's fair.
But so it hasn't been nonstop, but
yeah, I should say fairly consecutively, I guess is a better way to say, cause you have been doing this a long time, and that's not that long to put down an MMO in all seriousness. You know, that's pretty stable gameplay. Cause when I try and characterize how I played World of Warcraft, it's really hard for me to do because there were actual year to 2 year gaps. And then I had come back 3 months, you know, it was more off than on. So yeah, I feel like you're more on than often, which I think is a testament to the improvements they've made. And you know, we've talked about that over our last 44-ish episodes, I think, that we've done of the show here. And we've been very complimentary. But we've also called out ZeniMax when there's an issue that is becoming something too large to ignore. Because again, I do have faith in the game and I really have faith in the devs. I think they're fantastic and very passionate.
Yeah, and it is actually, I just realized, and it is actually topical. I do remember what the longest gap was.
Oh, what was that?
So Imperial City dropped in 2015.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I was actually sitting there with my watch in front of me timing it. And I was getting like 5 minute load screens every time I was in a load screen. And I put the game down that time. Ouch. And walked away and didn't come back until right before Thieves Guild dropped. So that was almost 6 months. And it's kind of telling because they stopped and think about it. Like, that was actually a technical issue, too. Like, the gold sellers were a problem.
Yeah.
But the technical problem of every load screen being 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And even I think it was even getting load screens like going in and out of buildings, which you normally don't see. And that was where I was like, OK, well, I'm sticking a pin in this. I'll probably come back someday, but I'm sticking a pin in this. And yeah, it's kind of the same situation we're seeing now with people where it's like, it's not a fault of the game. It's a fault of technical issues associated with it.
And that's something that builds up in MMOs over time. Because again, mm-hmm. I like Rich called out in the opening statements of this article that, where was it? That players, their activities change, and with constant content flow, some of the architecture starts to degrade or no longer is sufficient, I should say. And that's a large problem with computers, right? Like, people mm-hmm. say, I just bought myself a 1080 Ti. Like, I did this last year. It wasn't just for ESO. I needed an upgrade. But I saw zero increase in frames for ESO. The main reason being mm-hmm. My technology had far surpassed what the game utilized. And World of Warcraft has this problem out the wazoo. Mm-hmm. Like, they have done huge overhauls over the years to try and keep up because, well, after 5 years, I mean, technology is a an exponential growth sort of thing. So this is very fitting. And I think, like I was saying, the devs are extremely passionate. Like you said, it's not a lack of people being interested in the game. But when you are hit with some of these rather large, glaring issues, it can be hard to enjoy your day journeying through the game. It just starts to feel like, well, there's a pit hole I have to dodge and I can't really do that. And I think one of the most notable, the one that I often call out is something I've literally watched someone walk away from the game, a new player, I should say, for those out there that haven't mm-hmm. heard the story. New player came over, very calm dude on Twitch. He wasn't, just screaming to scream. He wasn't bashing the game just to bash the game. He was coming over during a free play weekend from World of Warcraft, very well-mannered, wanted to bring some friends over, and said, but I'm in here, and we want a dungeon together, and the dungeon finder doesn't work. So I don't really think I can continue playing this game, because that's what my friends and I want to do as our bread and butter of the game. And I had to kind of, empathically or whatever, shrug with the guy and be like, I'm sorry. I get it, man. I'm with you and it is broken. I can't lie about that. It is. You could see me on stream having trouble trying to get into these groups. So one of the first things, I'm actually skipping down a couple bullet points under the Q4 2019 update, but I think this is really, really big, is that we are getting a complete rewrite of the looking for group system, a ground up rewrite of how the system handles queues of people in both dungeons and battlegrounds, focused on reliability and speed under load. And for the user experience, this means that the LFG system works as expected, even under heavy load. Under
heavy load.
Heck yeah. Yes.
So this is... Okay, so part of this is ESO was in development for years before it started showing up. I think mm-hmm. the first time it was shown publicly was like 2012. That was 7 years ago. And I don't know how much the LFG system was overhauled since then, but I mean, when you're looking at the game as a whole, this was in development a long time ago. So even when we're talking about the game's 5 years old, it's older than that.
Wow, yeah.
A lot of this was coded to run on before. Well, actually, now I think about it, a lot of this would have been coded to run before dev kits actually existed for the Xbox One and the PS4. I don't have the exact timelines on that, so I could be talking out my ass here, but my recollection offhand is that the game was in development before they knew what the hardware they were going to be putting it on was. And yeah, it's hard to, in advance, it's hard to write a piece of code, especially net code, without knowing what the hardware it's going to run on will be, and without knowing what your server load is going to look like. So this isn't like the issues with the LFG system on the back end, from what I can see on the front end, is probably not to be blamed on anybody. It's simply the game is much larger now than what was ever expected.
Yeah.
And especially like looking at looking at when it broke this last time, right? Because you talked off air, you talked about the message from somebody back in 2014 when the system broke, where it was like, well, this isn't supposed to happen. We're sorry about it. We're working on it. We'll fix it. and then saying that was almost identical to something Gina posted a couple of months ago regarding this. Yeah. But there was a huge change with the first or second Undaunted event. Mm-hmm. I think it was the second one. It introduced a lot of people to the group finder, and then the group finder stopped working properly. Like, it was just like, it was a lot of people realized, oh, hey, this is a thing. They started using it, and then the system started coming apart at the seams because it really was, I don't think it was designed for this kind of capacity.
That makes a lot of sense, because that is when the Undaunted fell apart this last year, right? Was that the mm-hmm. big... And which makes sense, because we got 2.5 million new players last year. Mm-hmm. This was in November-ish, right? Is Undaunted, I think? Is that
Yeah, November. End of November, early December. It might have been the first week of December, but yeah, it was something.
Yeah, like new Christmas money in people's hands. You know, people are starting to pick up the game. Sales are happening. The Merkmire had just hit. Somerset was a massive success. Then, like you said, you introduce an event that points all these new players over to, hey, we have this system. And then, boom, it crashed hard. And it didn't really get a good fix yet. I've not mm-hmm. had trouble with it lately. It's been good, but I think that's because they actually sorry, Zoss, I'm crossing my words here, your words I should say. So I think they said, we didn't fix the system currently, we just don't put full groups into the system anymore. They yeah. just get piped into the thing.
Yeah, they
kind of makes sense anyway.
They fudged around that. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know what the downside to that really is, but
well, the downside is if you're in a full group and you're trying to queue in, it's going to be like, nope, that didn't happen. And if you don't know that that doesn't work, if you don't know that if you're in a full group, what you need to do is just go into a dungeon by choice, you might think, oh, it's broken, then there's no options.
Yeah.
That's the one thing with the guy who was like, they wanted to do their bread and butter with running dungeons. Like, you can do that without the group finder if you've got a full team.
But tell that to a player that doesn't even know where to find the new dungeons and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It just, well, what you're selling fair. Is a broken game, right? Like, where was this that we were, someone was showing off the dungeon entrances on stream? Was that? What was I watching?
I don't know.
Was that you? And oh, crap. I don't know if it was me showing it off. I don't know if I was watching.
Oh, yeah,
somebody.
Yeah. That was, yeah, I was there. We had Nate. We were on stream with Nate. I don't remember. I think that was in Nate's stream, actually, where we were showing him that.
That you could go and walk to the dungeon entrances and they all have their own unique looking mm-hmm. really pretty thing. Yeah. As I say, I don't think it was me traveling there, but I couldn't remember.
No, we dragged Nate there. Yeah. Like, I think that might have been on his stream while we were both in voice comms or something.
That actually, I think that's it.
So, yeah, we dragged him to Crypto Hearts 1, and it's like, Crypto Hearts, because it's the same entrance for both. And it's like, there's this huge freaking dwarven ruin there. And if you just zone in, you have no idea it's there.
And so then you know, you have a new player that, again, there's so much to know in this game. And that's why we do the podcast, to try and help them. But at the same time, if the system that is supposed to work and mm-hmm. actually calls itself the Dungeon Finder, you know, whatever it's officially titled, Dungeon Queue, if it doesn't work, then that's a big problem. And I'm glad to see this getting an overhaul, because like you said, unfortunately, sorry, Gina, but her comment from 2014 was written almost exactly like the comment from 2019 that said, the Dungeon Finder, we recognize it's broken and we are working on a fix. We will have a fix for it at some later point. Like, it was very open-ended. It didn't promise anything other than we know, which is not, you never want a we know handprint mail to you or on the forums.
Yeah. In her defense, I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure they did. Like, the primary issue back then got addressed, but it's much easier to find. Like, this is just a programming thing. If you can find something that's broken mm-hmm. and you can fix it either by patching around it or just dealing with the primary issue that's happening, mm-hmm. then it's a lot easier to do that than to go back and rewrite the whole thing from scratch. Well, and I think that's what I think that's what happened in 2014, was that there was some unhandled situation.
Right.
That they fixed or they fudged around. Because that's like, this is legitimately how you fix this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make it so that it actually runs without exploding in anyone's face and you're happy, instead of actually going back and reworking it from the ground up. Because that's, as a programmer, that's kind of your nuclear option.
Yeah.
If you do not ever want to have to go in, especially on a piece of code where it's part of a larger product, you never want to have to go in and completely rewrite the system unless you absolutely have to. Because that can, and in many cases will, break other things. So
makes sense.
Yeah, I have faith in their ability to actually do this and make it all work, but that is actually an extreme measure. Extreme measure.
Yeah.
It's not something you would normally want to do as a programmer.
And I've got to say, you're right. I don't think that the issue that they had in 2014 was the same as 2019. But the damning thing is, facts mm-hmm. don't matter when lined up next to yeah. optics, you know? And the fact
this is
someone copy posted a paste there.
Can't speak. Yeah, the wonderful example of that, and Rich is going to be annoyed with me for this. He'd be annoyed with me if he doesn't quote it himself. Is when he was posting on the forums and somebody was being a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Just page after page that keep coming back and pestering him. And that gives us this wonderful quote where he's like, you know, you don't have to be here, right? It's addressed to one guy who was being a troll, but people loved dragging that up for years against him. And it was like, well, this is the indicator he's never going to surf the forums again at home, or at least not going to post there at home.
Oh, Rich, we love you, man. Yeah. Hey,
he's great.
He's
absolutely great.
And again, I mean, I think this is an example. This whole post is an example of them listening. And I'm gonna say it's because, I mean, part of it, I really pushed Gina and Rich to post something like this. I don't think it was mm-hmm. not saying it was solo me, but I was telling them and bringing it up and saying, Twitch does this great engineering blog. I don't read it all the time because it's way over my head. But what it does show is Twitch acknowledging problems. By the way, this has nothing to do with their actual community management team that doesn't ban trolls. So don't take it out on them. This is the side that makes the actual video appear on your computer. So they do a good job and they do a very good job of showing the issue, showing how they fixed it, why they fixed it this way and not the other way. They show extreme diagrams of things. And I think this was a great first stab at kind of doing this on the ESO side, saying, hey, look, here is this larger thing. And we're going to go on to more points in a minute. But also saying we're going to keep updating this document so you guys have an idea of what this problem is, why we're fixing it, what that actual fix is going to translate to you, the user, in your hands. Like when you boot your computer up and play ESO, you should notice this difference after this patch comes out next year or whatever.
Yeah. This is just some sort of hinting here that's mm-hmm. in reference to Twitch, but also really relevant for ESO. And it's mm-hmm. something people should keep in mind when you're talking about any major software dev team. Mm-hmm. It's not handled by a single person. It's not handled by a single team. It's not like, oh, your programmer's taking time off to write their patch notes. A lot of this stuff is being split off into different teams. Like with ESO, you've got Rich, and he's at the top, mostly. Like Matt's the one who's, I think Matt's executive producer, isn't he? Like that's his title,
or is he Matt's just producer? Title.
Yeah, it's one or the other. But you have Matt, so Rich answers to Matt. But then you have all the team leads that answer to Rich because he's creative director, so his vision. And I might be conflating a little bit because there's certainly a lot of communication between Matt and Rich on what the vision should be. And there's certainly communication between the various leads. But you get somebody like Brian, who is responsible for combat and PvP. You get somebody like Mike Finn, who's responsible for dungeons. You get somebody like Jeremy, who, if I remember correctly, is responsible for the zones.
Yeah, that's right.
You get Dom, who's responsible for the writing. You get Gina, who is responsible for community interaction. Like mm-hmm. she's not a if she's a programmer, I don't know, but she's not the one doing the programming. Every once in a while on the forums, you'll see somebody's like, Gina should stop posting here and go fix the game. It's like, I don't think you want that. I really don't.
Let's just open up, let Gina in the server room and have at it. Here's a wrench, so Gina, like, fix it.
There are all of these separate teams, and while they're working together, it's not like, oh, this is all being handled by one person, mm-hmm. or even with a lot of stuff going through Rich and Matt, it's not like there is one person that is calling all the shots and making all the decisions. You can try to do that, and you will just break you over time. So it is kind of important to remember when you're looking at a product like this. A lot of these things, and especially a lot of the stuff that's coming up on this list, are actually coming out of different teams.
Yes.
And so while there's communication, while these people work together, they are actually part of separate groups that are working on different issues. So part of the, you know, like one of the things I see a lot, people will say, well, they should just stop producing content and fix stuff. Mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. you've said that too. Like you've actually said that.
It's kind of the driving community belief right now.
Mm-hmm. The problem is, the people who are making the content are, in many cases, not the people who need to be doing the fixes. like you're not gonna stop content production on a new zone to fix dungeons because those are different teams.
I think in certain cases that's the case. I don't think it is uniformly across the board, and I'm speculating. There are certain things that I think assets should be at times reallocated, which is a good word to use in a business sense, where it's like, well, you're right. You're not going to put the art guy. You're not going to say we're not making any art assets. You're now on the database team. No. But what you could do is say, hey, instead of taking, 50% of your team to this new thing, we actually only want to do 25% and pull some of your people back to the other, because the product we had you put out 4 months ago is actually falling apart at the seams already. So now we need you to redo what you already did, and not completely redo, but you know what I mean by that. Like, there are cases
take another evaluation pass at it.
Yeah. So also, I think that's where there's a bit of concern comes from.
Yeah. No, it's legitimate. At the same time, the sort of whole, okay, just shut the thing down and fix stuff and that's do nothing but fix it. Like, that's unreasonable. And a lot of times people point to Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn, as the example of, oh, hey, you can do this. You can just shut the whole game down and rebuild it. The thing that gets lost there is Final Fantasy 14 was on the verge of simply being shut down permanently.
Yeah.
That's and different. Also damaging the Final Fantasy branding completely. Mm-hmm. So, like, when Square Enix decided to do that, it was kind of it's either this or we take the thing out back behind the woodshed.
Yeah. Giving up the building today, signing up, renting it out, we're done.
So
that makes it does make a lot of sense. And this, so I think one of the other, I think you're hinting at a larger thing there when you say that. And again, I promised you guys we were going to get to these bullets, but this will explain it as we go. Like Stark just said, these are coming together from a lot of different teams. And I think that in itself is a concern, where there can be a lot of new content coming into your hands and you're like, this is cool, but that other thing has not been fixed. And I think sometimes there is a fear that feedback doesn't reach the correct destination, because you can say, well, hey, this thing doesn't work. Someone, maybe let's say, poor Gina's over there scrolling through the forums and sifting all this stuff out. And it's like, great, Gina received it, but did the next person receive it? Does the person that actually needs to get that information, are they getting it? Are they processing it? Or is it winding up in the trash can? And this proves very definitively, in my opinion, that all of that feedback, the stuff that's very important to the game, is not only being received, but also being slated for a fix. Because there is, I think this is just a change in consumerism in 2019, where everyone, well, it's gone back a couple years from now, everyone's an expert. And it's not always, it's a heh, but it's also sometimes true, because it doesn't take that much to say, well, let me open up. What does actually this thing mean? Well, okay, great. I can go to Skillshare and become a programmer overnight, because there's, and I know I'm making a hyperbolic argument there, and I am doing it intentionally.
You're making a legitimate point though on this, because, so this is, the thing about programming, you're right. You can go there, you can work at it, and you can attempt to learn as quickly as possible. The other side of this is the sort of the Dunning-Kruger effect, which, you familiar with that term?
I'm not. Elaborate for us all.
Okay, so it's a psychological phenomena where basically the less you know, the more you think you understand the subject.
I've actually heard of this now that you say that, yes.
And especially with programming, this is, like, I'm certainly guilty of this to a certain extent, but with programming, there's a lot of stuff where it's like, okay, I can learn how this works at a very simple level. And then when you dig in deeper, there's a lot of stuff that in some cases is counterintuitive that you wouldn't realize starting out.
Yep.
And so this is why I laughed, by the way, because you're like, everyone's an expert. And it's like, that's kind of true, but that's really not true.
Right.
Because you'll hear a lot of people throwing stuff around. Actually, this is the first bullet point under Q4. Talking about memory management overhaul, one of the things you'll hear repeatedly that is not true is that ESO has a memory leak, or like has a serious memory leak issue.
I've never seen that.
And then when you go and you look at what they're talking about, there's actually a memory fragmentation issue. Now, memory leaks and memory fragmentation are not the same thing at all, but in the range of everyone's an expert, you see this memory leak thing over and over again.
Right.
What that is when a program will pull memory from the page file. Well, it'll allocate memory for itself in the page file, and then it will fail to release that memory. So then it'll go, oh, hey, I need memory to allocate data. I'll just grab some more. And it keeps doing this. Like, this is what a leak is. Mm-hmm. That's not what a fragmentation issue is. On the outside, fragmentation can result in some of the same issues, like the crashing, you know, just CTDs or, you know, actually hard lockups in some cases. And somebody who looks at their memory allocate, like their actual memory consumption for the game, looks at it and goes, oh, there's a leak because it's chewing up a lot of memory. Mm-hmm. Not quite, not the same issue. So this isn't like to shut you down on that, because you can choose to educate yourself.
Yeah.
But it also creates a lot of people who are not experts who think they are.
And I don't disagree with you there. And nor is my point to say that everyone does run around knowing everything. Mm. And this wasn't even this was actually definitely not a shot taken at ZeniMax, because I think they're going the opposite of what my point is. And my point is, you get a lot of companies these days. I would say most, the majority of companies are non-responsive or unresponsive to they don't release anything. There is this kind of closing ranks or circling the wagon sort of approach these days, where no one will talk about anything. Well, you know, okay, we got a lot of complaints about that, but let's not address it. If we don't address it, it's not a problem kind of approach. And I think that's old school think, and I don't think it fits modern think, where it's more of a case of, hey, if you guys don't respond to me, I'll go do something else. You know, I can do something else. It takes me, you know, 20 minutes to go download a different game that's equally of size and scale and scope and all of that. And that's why I think this that they put out is very, very smart, because it prevents that. Like you said, the memory fragmentation is a great one. Let's move on to the second point here, just to wrap up Q4 area. But behind the scenes combat ability improvements phase one. This kind of also ties into what you just said about everyone thinking they're an expert, knowing how combat works. But look at some of the behind the scenes that actually is coming from this. And it says, this is the first of an ongoing initiative to rewrite some of the more consumptive combat abilities to lessen server load. So things are actually being slimmed down to help server performance, which is something we need. And to the user, before I pass this to you, it says, this is the first of many behind the scenes combat optimizations and may not have a huge impact, but over time this will lessen the server load and allow smoother and more responsive combat with larger groups, which translates into trials being less sluggish and dungeoning being better and potentially some Cyrodiil, you know, let up. Again, like they said, don't expect night today over this first pass, but a little's enough.
I can point to an illustration of this.
Go for it.
One of the major changes that just got was getting pushed through with the next patch is the change to healing abilities.
I thought you might be thinking of this. Yes.
Yeah. So instead of firing off as many orbs as you can before your magicka runs out, instead of having to constantly spam healing springs, you're only going to drop one healing springs and leave it there. Mm-hmm. That at a very fundamental level is the difference between having to process the same ability three times and having to process it once.
Correct. Same thing. And like four balls versus one.
Mm-hmm. And on the surface, it's like, okay, this isn't going to be a huge change, right? Like, this is because it's the difference between four abilities or one, and you're probably going to be firing off other abilities while this is going on. But it is going to be less load.
Yeah.
Because you're not telling the system, do this, do this, do this, do this over and over again. It's going to be sitting in some variation. What I suspect and can't prove is that there's also other changes in the background that are getting standardized. And that's sort of consistent with what's happening with the abilities themselves. Like, they're being standardized out so that they're behaving the same way. But I kind of suspect that when you start peeling the surface layer off and looking at the way some of these things work under the hood, there's a lot of different functions that are going on.
Yeah.
And I suspect one of the things that's going to be changed with this, with the ability overhauls going through the game right now, is a lot of that stuff's going to be standardized down so that it runs more smoothly.
Yep. I think you're right. And I think, again, I think that's why the points that we've made preceding this are so pertinent, because, again, whether the person actually knows what they're talking about or not, people come into this and they say, well, I don't see ZeniMax making any noticeable changes. Like, why is the game, I'm getting more dungeons, I'm getting more maps, but I'm not getting any fixes. then you get something like this. This is a roadmap. This is not a replacement, by the way, to any of the content. This is a Q4 behind the scenes update that Stark and I are reading off to you guys. This is not replacing Dragonhole, but this will accompany it in some form, which is an incredible boon for us as players, because like we started the show saying, people haven't really lost interest in the content, but when you can't get into dungeon queues and new dungeons are released, that's disjointed thinking in the head. You know, you're like, what? Wait,
I mean, the content might as well not exist.
That's the hard part
there. It's like, if the content is there, but you can't access it at all, it might as well not be there.
So this, again, way more exciting to me than any new DLC announcements that we're getting. I am all in on this post, and I actually kind of want to stalk this. Like, I'm so excited to see changes. Let's move on a little bit into Q1 of 2020, if you're
I was going to actually say something else about this. Like, because you're pointing out that it's not replacing content. The ideal response, like, as we were talking a minute ago about, you know, oh, stop doing stuff and then just work on fixes. The ideal solution is get teams to come in specifically to work on fixes and cleaning stuff up, in addition to what you already have. And I realize that in some cases, like, there just isn't the budget for that. But if you can swing that, like, that's a much better solution, because you don't want to stop the content coming out. That's a good way to say, oh, the game's dead, nothing's happening, especially when fixes like these, where they're not going to be immediately life changing. But at the same time, like, if you're getting people in to fix this stuff and clean it up while it's also happening in general, and everybody's roughly on the same page of where they're going, you can do stuff like this in the background. And that's, like, as an approach to keeping the game, like, dealing with issues in the game. I'm actually really excited that that seems to be the route they're taking. They're actually taking a step towards dealing with it. And we've seen some of this, like, in the last year, where they've been working to clean up stuff on the back end. But it's been hard to get excited about it, because we haven't had a roadmap at all. And we haven't had concrete information about what's been cleaned up. I think Somerset, we were told it was just going to be like, there were going to be some changes in the rendering pipeline with Somerset and with Dragonbones, in an attempt to help make the game perform better. And it did. It actually saw frame rate increases from both of those, but it's hard to get excited about it when you can't say what's happening.
So true. No,
here we are.
So true. I mean, I just said it, but I'm just so amped for this post. I'm so glad to have that clear communication, because, again, not all companies do this, and there's nothing worse than being kept in the dark. There's nothing worse than thinking, and semi-rightfully so in the past, we know, you and I, who've met the dev team, we know that they listen to the feedback. But to that person that just walks into the Twitch chat for the first time, and they, you know, say hi, and they start onboarding. They don't really know the devs yet. They just came over the game a week or two ago, and maybe now they're in the game for a month, but they still really don't know what's the culture yet, right? But they've been experiencing these problems, and they've reported them because they're being, you know, fastidious and very dedicated to what they're doing and all that stuff. And then nothing happens. Well, that's, we know, you and I know, again, that this takes time. But no communication shows, unfortunately. Again, it's all optics. Doesn't intentions mean nothing to optics? It means we don't care, and your problems don't matter to us.
Yeah.
That's how, sorry, I'll give them another option. It means we want no comment because we don't have faith in our own abilities. And this is not pointing strictly at ZeniMax. This is just kind of my PR viewing of many companies. So that's, again, this thing comes in there and quashes that and says, nope, we see these, and this is our roadmap, like you pointed out, to actually estimated dates of fixes. So we should probably scoot down this list here.
We need to keep going, because we're getting sidetracked.
Patching overhaul.
I'm really psyched about this.
This is big. So big patch. I'm sorry. So patching overhaul. This is Q1 of 2020 with update 25. This will probably come alongside some dungeon content, is what we'll guess for the start of a new year of releases. This says big changes to the way ESO is downloaded, patched, and stored on local hard drives. We need to refresh ESO's patching and file manifest data to remove duplicate and older data that is no longer needed. This will result in a major reduction of space taken up by the client on the player's local hard drive. Console players will see a significantly larger impact compared to PC because of the way those patching systems work. In terms of user experience, you can look for major improvements to in load times, streaming of assets, and the reliability of asset loads, especially on consoles. And there's two sub-notes here. One, every ESO player on every platform will have to re-download the game client when this change happens, probably with the launch of Update 25. And note that after this change happens, patch size going forward should also be reduced. Heck yes. Now, can I ask you, Stark, when it says streaming of assets and things like that loading, does some of this also, does that mean, is some of that like textures in the game too, when it says streaming of assets? So like,
yeah, like, so when you're standing someplace like Vardenfell and you're looking around, you're on one point of a very large map. And simply as a function of the hardware we have available right now, you can't load everything into memory.
Right, right.
So the primary solution that people have come up with, and it's variations of the LOD system, but the primary solution people have come up with is if you're standing at one point, load in the stuff you can see. The closer it is to the player, the higher resolution you need. And as you get to certain thresholds away from them, you can afford to dump the textures and even dump the mesh quality down significantly, because even if a player's looking at it, they won't really notice. A really good game to see, to recognize and see this happening, is the original Oblivion. If you go and you fire up Oblivion and you look at the trees, they're flat. They turn into flat sprites at a certain distance. I forget what it is. It's like 30 meters or something. It's shockingly close. Like, they cease to be trees and they actually become sprites. But when you get closer, you actually end up with a 3D tree. And then when you get close enough, it's like, okay, well, here's the object. This sort of system. And Oblivion was, it wasn't the first game to do this, but it's one of the first I remember seeing this on. I think, I want to say Far Cry was the first game that really went in for LOD, but I could be mistaken about that. But we're talking about streaming of assets. You're talking about, okay, so you're looking at this, the object's 30 meters away, and you can decide, okay, well, this needs to be highest quality, and that thing 35 meters away doesn't. It can be dumped down a little bit. Mm-hmm. What happens when you walk forward 5 meters? Now you need to pull those assets in, load them up, and replace it. And so when talking about streaming of assets, that's actually an overland thing. When you're moving through an environment and increasing the quality of stuff as you're moving and dumping the stuff you don't need out of memory.
And this sounds very similar to our next point here, which is faster loading of art fixtures and characters. As part of the client changes above, we'll be moving to faster, newer, better compression libraries for art fixtures and character loading. These are two of the most quote-unquote expensive loading tasks. This is, the user experience will be better load times, fewer shadow player silhouettes. Now, for a person that's actually in the game playing right now, Stark, this part of this would be what, when the art, when you get close to someone, is this when their armor is weirdly downgraded sometimes in quality, sort of stuff? Like, is that related to this?
The shadow silhouettes, this probably is. The shadow silhouettes is when they don't load at all and you just have a black specter standing there.
I don't think I've ever witnessed that myself, weirdly enough.
I might have screenshots of it.
I believe I've seen it in other games.
It used to be really pronounced right after the Imperial City update, because that's what brought in the shadow silhouettes. Before that, if a player wasn't properly loaded in yet, they'd be invisible to you.
Oh, wow.
So Imperial City changed that so that they would actually be visible. And then they've done, over the years, there's been some iterative improvements. Like, I haven't noticed, I don't remember noticing this in like the last year and a half or so, but it did used to be more pronounced. And like I said, I've probably got screenshots of it from years ago. The funny thing about this is, like, these first, like the patching overhaul, we're talking about streaming assets and shit. Like, when they're talking about the streaming of assets, like, to a weird extent, the patching overhaul is including stuff that's part of the faster loading. Like, these are not completely separate concepts, because what it looks like is the actual art archives are being streamlined down. And that's going to have two very distinct effects on what the player sees. Because we were talking earlier, like, this actually takes time and puts a UX element on each of the bullet points. This is taking basically one point that has two very distinct UX consequences and pulling those out and saying, hey, look at this. Now, Rich is probably going to be annoyed with me right now, because I do understand there's more going on here than just that. But there's a lot of overlap between these two. It's going to help a lot with making sure when you look at stuff, you're actually getting the right texture, or you're getting the right model information, as opposed to it not loading in.
That's very important. I think that's very good. It really that should help a lot with. I mean, again, immersion is important to an MMO. Not looking around, things not looking right and looking very low res. They don't match the rest of the game. They're not, you know, functioning properly. That's really kicks the player out of the mindset to keep going and doing their thing. Quick bullet point next. This is more behind the scenes combat ability improvements for phase two. So this is the same thing we talked about above that's going to happen in Q4. So this is just a second round of that. This will be the next round of behind the scenes ability streamlining and optimizations, back to what Stark and I were saying with the healing balls and not combat prayer, healing springs. So that's that kind of thing, chopping out some of the excessive and kind of rebalancing. The user experience will be a more responsive experience in combat situations, which is something we all want.
Yeah.
I think
it's probably worth paying attention to this for a sec, because both of these changes and also the changes that are coming in with the patch next month, all actually supposed to be this month by the time anybody hears this, but all of that is going to be a full overhaul of player abilities.
Yes.
Like the game is being fundamentally redesigned at that level. So there's been a lot, like I see a lot of panic already on the forums and just all over the place where it's like, oh, this is getting nerfed or that's getting nerfed. It's like, this is a from the ground up rework of how the game plays. They're not, and we can tell from right now, they're not abandoning class identities. They're not abandoning how the game, like the game actually plays, but a lot of stuff is being reevaluated and reworked. And they've chosen to roll this out sequentially rather than dropping it all of it on us at once. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have time to acclimate as we go. It's not going to be like you wake up and in a single patch, everything's changed. Any of us who've lived through that in an MMO, that can be absolutely disastrous. So you're never going to be in a situation where you have no frame of reference to sit at yourself. But this and the previous one, and then, of course, the patch that's coming up, are all going to be iterative changes to a lot of different elements of the game. It's not you're being nerfed or you're being punished. It's not punitive. It is with a goal of smoothing out the game and making sure your abilities don't screw up the game too much. Something that's come up before in the past, and I used to actually have the wrong understanding of this, but Cyrodiil lag, a lot of that actually comes out of player abilities being used.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so when you're looking at like really old videos where Cyrodiil is just absolutely saturated with people and you're like, well, how did that work? It's like, There are only like 5 people in this screenshot of 1,000 people who are over level 20.
Yeah.
When you start dealing with a lot of the high end powers, it starts to affect the game very badly. And I still remember the old version of, I think it was World in Flames. It's a Dragon Knight ability. It used to be a toggle where you'd activate it. And it was just like your character would be set on fire and they'd throw fireballs at things. It looked really cool. That's gone. That's been gone for 4 years. And I'm willing to bet that a large part of why that went away was server load. In fact, a lot of the toggled abilities have either been phased out or altered into passive effects, where it used to be they'd apply a particle effect on you. And a lot of that was affecting the server, I'm willing to bet. Also frame rate, which is coming up right after this. So that's something else they're working on. You want to move on to the next bullet point?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. No, I'm good to move on here, too. So let's see. That was behind the scenes. So next up is frame rate improvements phase one. We have built in this schedule here for general frame rate improvements. More details on this in future updates. So the user experience should be smoother, faster frame rates. That's good and very simple. Again, we're starting to get further out, right? This is a January such release we're expecting this for. So if you guys are like, why is that? Actually, this is what, February release?
Probably February
as usual. Yeah. So, okay. So we're looking at February. So if some of this stuff gets thin on you guys, don't worry. It's not just because like, well, that doesn't sound promising. No. This is the future far out. So, server optimization and stability. Server optimizations are being investigated and addressed with a focus on CPU and bandwidth usage on the server. especially on the combat handler, which I think, Stark, you kind of were hinting at combat type problems, and messaging. So the user experience should be a more responsive experience, especially in intense or high bandwidth situations, i.e. places where large groups of players are found.
This is going to be another one of those times when I'm a little bit on the edge of what I know for certain, but messaging getting specifically pulled out and pointed out there reminds me of something. There's a lot of add-ons that under the surface actually run by using chat commands.
So there's stuff that
you can technically trigger. Yeah, that you can technically trigger through chat commands that are being run through that. And we're talking stuff with heavy automation.
Yes.
So in some cases, I think this was actually an issue with
MM.
Well, MM does this. I was trying to remember I used to use a full UI overhaul that generated a lot of data, and a lot of that data was actually getting shoved through the chat interface. So even though you don't see the messaging, it's being handled there to get the information it needs. This would, in rare cases, result in you getting kicked from the game with a message of stop spamming chat, or, you know, get a message from chat where it's like, stop spamming chat. And it's like, I wasn't doing anything. It wouldn't surprise me if add-ons actually are a significant factor in server lag as well, ironically.
Yeah.
Simply because of how much messaging they handle. So even this, if this is just segregating off elements of the messaging system or the elements of the API so that that can be handled through a separate pipeline of some kind, like that would help, I suspect, a lot. But again, I'm kind of guessing here because for everything I do know about the game, there's a lot of stuff on the back end that's a mystery to me.
I could see what you mean. Yeah, that I think, yeah, trying to run add-ons through chat system, which is not intending to be used in that way, could be very aggressive. So I hope
there are some very aggressive add-ons on that front.
Very. Has our MM functionality been restored, or is it still?
Yeah, MM works.
Okay.
It's really back up and running. No, it's okay. I pulled it back up, I think, 2 weeks ago, and it was working fine then. So good. I was like, okay, well, here we go.
So I think this puts us to the point we can move on to Q2. So this would be about the time of our next expansion. So we're probably looking at about the May window for this for 2020. And in this one, we can expect an account database, quote unquote, cold storage. There are millions of accounts in our database. The goal of this task is to split the character database into active and inactive shards to remove the need to pull all the character records for all logins. Faster account log. This would result in faster account login and character loads, which is a blessing because load times take a little while. It also says players logging in for the first time after being inactive for a few years will notice an initial longer load while their account is transferred from inactive to active, which sounds pretty reasonable to me. Cause again, I'm on the small end of the tune system. I've got maybe 8, I think. And of the 8, I only log into 3 of them. One of them.
Your characters. This isn't talking about your characters. This is talking about your account.
The goal is to split the character database. So
yeah, into active and inactive. Oh, okay.
No. This is characters. This is individual characters, not accounts. It's account database, but yeah, it's functional character. So I think, right? Am I on par with this? I think it's saying if you haven't played this one tune for a while, they're going to take longer to.
It'll take longer to load, but the threshold here is a few years.
Yeah.
So I suspect it's going to be like, if you haven't played in like 2-3 years, then your character is going to be put in cold storage. I don't know. Like, obviously, I don't know what they're planning to do with this. I would expect that the full account would be brought back into active if you logged in rather than just a few characters at a time.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about databases. When you end up with a lot of records, and of course, in this case, we're talking about millions. You start having a lot of records you have to go through if you're trying to find something. And there's a lot of ways you can sort of optimize your search systems. But ultimately, at some point, you are going to have to start working your way through the database to find the record you want. Mm-hmm. And this is trying to minimize the issue with that search. So some of the law, if reading this, some of the time you spend on character or on login, when you like you punch in your password, yep. your username, your password, and you go to log in, the game has to then search for your username and then check your password. And that search time should be brought down by this system. Again, millions of records, and then it happens as fast as it does. Yeah, technology is fantastic, but that's still a process that has to happen because it's got to find your username.
Yes.
And for fairly obvious reasons, you can't actually keep your primary key data on the local system. Right. That's a terrible idea. So, yeah, this is actually really good. It's something I'm a little surprised wasn't already there, but given... Yeah, I'm actually a little surprised that there wasn't a cold storage system to begin with. This will help with logins, though. They're not kidding about that. Because if you can simply say, okay, we're only going to check active records, that immediately cuts out a lot of old data that you don't have to worry about. And when they say a longer login account, the first time you try to log in after being inactive for years, that means it's going to check through all the active records. And when it realizes that's not correct, then it's going to have to start searching through the inactive records. Mm-hmm. And then move you over. But yeah, this is just like handling database searches is a freaking pain in the ass from a programming standpoint. It's some of these things where you have to do it, but it's always annoying when you're dealing with a lot of data. And as players, we've generated a hell of a lot of data in the last 5 years.
I agree. I think that's a sensible system. I got your explanation, but I'm also with lack of wording for this, again, being a future thing, I'll be curious to see how this develops. And
this is one of these things where it's actually kind of like from user experience side, it's going to be pretty minor.
Yeah, I think so.
Your load screen's going to be fast. Your loads onto your account and probably your character to character jumps are going to be faster. The rest of it,
I'll take it.
It's nice. It's nice. It'll help. It's going to do something else, though, which is if the game experiences explosive growth again in the future, which, that'd be nice. This is going to blunt some of the effect of that we saw this year and last year.
That makes sense.
Where it was like, oh, suddenly the load screens are just getting longer and longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to help deal with that.
Let's see. Next on our list is frame rate improvements phase 2. The team has time built into update 26 to identify more areas for frame rate improvements. Please note that this takes place after the frame rate improvements of update 25. So this will be piggybacking on those. Again, user experience being better, smoother frame rate. So
I have no idea what they're doing here.
Nope. Doesn't sound like it's
like I can kind of understand like some potential ways they could do it, but I have no idea what they're chasing here.
Well, actually,
From a better experience.
And it says it right there. They don't know yet either. And that's okay.
Yeah,
because they said we are going to identify more. So the fact is they're saying, look, we are actually pre-allocating team, like physical human bodies to work on frame rate, which is good. I like hearing that. This is the final one, right? This is the last point here is additional bug fixes and other updates. The NPC and monster pathing system will be overhauled to result in fewer movement bugs. Note, we are always working on identifying outstanding bugs and fixing them. If any rise to the level of needing to be included in this regularly updated post, we will do so here. Fantastic.
Yeah, so NPC pathing is kind of... We can't see it in ESO, obviously, because, again, it's not a game where you can start digging through stuff. Mm-hmm. When you can get into games where you can actually see the baked walk mesh, this stuff can get really interesting. I'm not sure how ESO handles pathing specifically, but... Yeah, if it's going to get overhauled to improve things, like that might help some of those weird situations where monsters are moving in very strange ways.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I've never noticed any real weirdness with the walk mesh in ESO.
Well, I think a lot of this, the word pathing, let me just put it that. I'm not saying NPCs and monsters, but let's just say the word pathing has gotten a lot of buzz lately because of the necromancer pet and his lack of intelligent pathing. So for those that are out there and they're like, well, I just heard this, that could be why you were heard about pathing, because that blast bones and he's getting some changes that are supposed to help him not stand there like an idiot and supposed to help him not run around the building to attack the person out there for you. Yeah, this kind of relates to that in a distant sense.
Might help with the bear being a weirdo, too.
That's right, because the bear will wind up on tables and all kinds of weird stuff. So We don't want bear fur in our housing.
The worst part's when the bear decides to stand on top of the crafting crates, and it's just like, whose is this? Take him away.
Take
please.
The pathing off of the top of the crafting crate. That's a no-fly zone.
I go through this whole thing where I'm like, I'm not sure what they're doing. Then I stop and I think about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, there is some weird stuff with the pathing.
Yeah. So there you go.
Especially critters jumping up on tables and other sources like that. So, that starts to make sense. Yeah, that's something that could probably use some love.
And so we conclude with Rich saying, as you can see, we have a huge amount of work ahead of us. There's a ton of stuff to do. And as time progresses, you should expect that some of these items may change, especially the investigative tasks, since we aren't 100% sure what will be uncovered. Regardless, we will keep you updated. Watch this article in our official ESO social channels for updates at least once a month. Thanks, everyone, for being patient with us while we work through these issues. See you all in Tamriel. Signed off by Rich, saying that's it. Check back here monthly. So I love it. I love it. Thank you, Rich, for the transparency. This is what I needed to feel better at night because, like I said, my passion has been spiraling a bit. I'm like, I know there's so much to do in the game, but if I think again, like I said, in our MMO market is not saturated, but in a world where you can so easily just pick up a new game, you want to know that your things are being addressed, that your concerns are actually on the table, that they are trying to figure out ways to smooth things out. Because I think the worst thing for an MMO is when people just stop developing it. And then you go, well, why would I sink more time into this? Is it dying? Well, now we know. I mean, factually, no. Nope. It's through Q2, there is a development plan. So for anyone that's worried, you actually can see that. Oh, you sent me some interesting photos. I should share these on Twitter, too. Share these for people.
That's a minute ago. Like, that's
Stark sharing. That's an example where
an example where the streaming system doesn't work.
Yeah.
You can see that some elements loaded in properly. It's not white. That's actually the skybox.
Oh, it's okay. I'll tweet.
Yeah,
these
it's
out,
not.
Everyone.
It's not actually really visible from this. Like, and especially I checked the images I've got here. There's ones where if you looked down, you could actually see the water below. But that was not present in any of the stuff I took screenshots of. So this is an example of when streaming the game assets does not happen the way it's supposed to, or stuff doesn't load in properly. Unfortunately, I didn't actually take any photos of the silhouettes.
Well, people
I can't show you any
dream.
Of those. Yeah.
You guys can do Google close searches. Your eyes and imagine a character with no texture. Okay. Now open them. And please don't close them if you're driving and listening to the podcast.
Probably should have led with that.
Hey, I'm not your health advisor. Someone has to take that job. Not
this
me.
Is why.
Well, anyway, on next week's episode, we'll talk to you about how to unfender bender your car after that latest collision. Actually, though, not in next week's episode, because next week, let's see, they'll get this episode on the 4th. Oh, no, it is next week's episode. You're right when you told me this last night. So on Sunday the 11th, you guys should expect to get the episode with Finn. Mike Finnegan, lead dungeon designer at ZeniMax. We will be getting on a call with him tomorrow, I believe it is already. Wow. And talking to him about the Scalebreaker upcoming release, plus the questions that were submitted by the community. So thank you to everyone that submitted those. We will be sending some of those, or we'll be going over them with him, and probably branch off to some other conversations here and there. Maybe, you know, if we have some time to fill, even get a chance to ask, maybe retroactively thoughts on Wrathstone and things like that, because Finn has some amazing dungeons underway. Like, this stuff is really cool. If you guys haven't already gone to the PTS, that stuff is very snazzy looking, and the fights are I found some of them, actually a lot of them, felt very unique. Some of them you could tell, you know, you borrowed mechanics that we all know and love, but others were just like, whoa. So that will be fun. Stark, anything else you want to talk about for this one? We're about at time here, so we should let the folks go. But anything else?
I think
else
we should cut them loose.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Let them into the abyss here. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed our kind of all-over conversation about the improvement plan. I think this is great. And in the future, we'll probably queue up an episode. People were asking last night on Twitch to Stark and I if we could do one about the future of MMOs. It's not the first time it's been asked to us, but I thought that this kind of fit in there to maybe start that conversation, and we can kind of develop that topic later on, and maybe even bring in a guest for that as well, because I've had some people want to talk about MMO, the genre. And so this, again, is a good door opener to show, hey, this is what ESO is doing, and we can then compare that to what other games are doing, how they're, you know, working in this space, because they do. ESO's got some competition next year. Stark and I have talked about the Ashes of Creation game a little bit off air. We'll see how that goes. It seems like an untested studio that's creating that, so I'm not really sure how that's going to work out, but I do know they're trying to accomplish basically the same things that ESO is: player housing. Basically, you can do play your character any way you want. Like, you can make a, I think it's like a, take a cleric class and then become a subclass of a warlock, and then that becomes a necromancer. So they're trying to do this very similar approach, but they've got maybe overly ambitious plans. So it's going to be interesting to see how ESO reacts to some more in their face competition next year, if that does indeed launch. So I think that could be a cool conversation. And if you guys have thoughts on the MMO subject and maybe ways that we could frame that conversation you'd be interested in, please feel free to send us an email. It is kyledempsterstudios@gmail.com. I'm over on Twitch at twitch.tv/KyleDempsterStudios Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Stark's been stopping by there an awful lot. We've been chatting with people, harassing the chat, having a good old time. And then you can find me over at twitter.com/KyleDempsterSTU. And Stark, you're at twitter.com/...
Michael J. Schwartz.
I think that's all we have to give them this week, Stark. They have to go and mull on this great article, which, again, you could find in the show notes. So pop down there and take a look. It is ESO's Performance Improvements Plan. Until next week, everyone, enjoy your journeys across Tamriel. Bye-bye.
Take care.